movie that I may know what I ought to speak. It's biblical. Paul wrote pen it down, so it worked for him, you know. In my reading time a couple weeks ago, I had a headlight moment. So I was like, oh man, never saw this before.
A headlight moment?
You know.
Is that like a deer in the headlights? Or
That's a bad moment. This is a good headlight moment.
Okay.
Not headlight, headbulb.
Light bulb.
There we go.
They don't make those things no more. It's LED.
Listen, y'all feel free to interpret Juan anytime.
This is a test to see how prophetic you are.
Exactly.
Light bulb over there.
Yeah.
Scott's on fire tonight.
Those cultural references are rough, man.
Thank you, Jesus. I told you I need a prayer. All right. So anyway, I had a light bulb. Thank you.
Mess up again.
So, and looking into that, some more scriptures came to mind. I put it together. I want to share with you guys. Sorry about that. Whatever, guys.
Okay, well, come out in the name of Jesus!
So, with that in mind, you know, we'll go through some scriptures, and then we have some of them have some activation, so be ready to pair up with somebody during the teaching, the sharing. First scripture is John 13:2, and it says, so it was during supper, Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. And this was the head, light bulb moment for me, yes, which was in this scripture. And I'll read it again, and then I'm going to ask to see if anything sticks out to you. So it was during supper, Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. So what sticks out to you? Anything sticks out to you in that scripture? Lord. What about the Lord?
That he let it enter in.
Anybody else? Cool stuff.
It just hit me. I always read that as, well, yeah, of course. Of course, Judas is going to experience Satan coming in, putting a thought in his head, but it's like, man, that's possible for all of us, right? To get a thought that comes from Satan.
Right.
Like, cool. That did me.
And that was kind of the light bulb moment that I had, that it was a thought that was put into him. And like you said, you know, how simple is that? A thought that any one of us at any moment could have a thought that yet is not of God, maybe not recognized, because it doesn't have to be us trying to kill somebody, right? And totally derail us or totally get us thinking on the wrong page outside of what God says about us or about a situation or about another individual. So that was like, to me, I was like, oh man, it was a simple thought. The Satan planted in the heart of Judas. Am I moving too much?
Nope.
Okay. In that case.
You're scaring me now, bro.
So anyway, I just feel weird with a mic now. But anyway, so it was that simple thing that a thought was planted. And it says here that it was planted in the heart of Judas. Now, the Hebrew word for heart there means inner man, the will, the mind. Now, when I see inner man, I see who we are. I know for years in my walk with the Lord, my earlier years, right, you know, it's like we think, well, I'm human and I have a spirit in me. But the reality of that is that we are spirit in a human body.
That's right.
You know, because God is spirit, we're created in his image, we were spirit formed before we came to earth, we were spirit formed before we were put into this body. It's kind of like thinking like an astronaut, you know? It's the person inside a suit. So our inner man is a spirit man who is who we really are. We're just in a human suit. But the thought was planted into the inner man of Judas. The thought was planted into his will. which leads us to, you know, our thoughts, the thoughts we carry, whether good or bad, lead to the actions we take, whether good or bad, in the same direction of that thought. The thought was to murder Jesus, and he took action on that thought. So again, it's just for us to come into not an awareness, but just to be more in tune with what we are allowing into our minds. What thoughts are we entertaining? And again, it doesn't have to be something drastic of killing anybody, but it could just be something very simple where it's like, that person doesn't like you, or, you know, you're not going to make it, or God's not there for you because look what happened to you before. You know, something so sudden, so simple, like it just totally gets us off track and derail us. Second verse is Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all, that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Now, what happens to drinking water if we were to add bleach to it?
It won't
taste good. It becomes poisonous, right? And it's the same thing with these thoughts, that if we don't take care of it, that might get planted in us, in our heart, in our inner man, become poisonous to our whole system, become poisonous to our spirit man, become poisonous to, you know, and start decaying and rotting away certain areas of our life, which could lead to other areas of our life. Again, it's just to derail us from where God would have us and the truth of God. So it's important that we guard our hearts. It's important that we guard the inner man, that we take care of what's being put in, you know, what we are allowing, what we are entertaining, because of the possibility of derailment, of poisoning our inner man. So real quick, first activation, just declare, find the person next to you, and declare over that. If you don't have somebody next to you, find somebody next to you. And just declare that over each other, the mind of Christ. Just take a couple seconds, nothing major.
Okay.
Just find somebody.
You have the mind of Christ.
And just declare over each other, the mind of Christ.
No, you do.
And the spirit of God will see.
So moving on. We talked about guarding our heart, guarding our minds. How do we guard our heart?
Focus on the Lord.
Focus on God. Good stuff.
Who you surround yourself with, too.
How do you surround yourself? Who you surround yourself with? Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So leads that question, how do we guard our hearts, leads us to our next verse, which is 2 Corinthians 10:5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So basically what Paul is saying is that anything that does not line up with who God is, we are to take captive, and we are to lead it into the obedience of Christ. We are to put it to the feet of Jesus, and however the Holy Spirit may lead you, just declare victory over that, declare, you know, Jesus is Lord over that, you know, however it is. But with everything that does not align itself with who God is, with his purposes, with maybe whatever he's spoken to our lives, whatever's not in alignment with that, we are to not let it run free, or just like brush it off like, oh, that's nothing, it's no big deal, because it's going to take root, but we have to take it captive, right? And then lead it to the obedience of Christ, basically bring it under submission of Jesus, bring it under submission of the truth of who God is and of what God says. Now, as Rose pointed out, right, we all have something, some type of issue or something, at one point or another in our lives, So this activation is a, more of a personal one, you know, one-on-one between you and God. And I want you to ask God to expose any wrong thought that you might be believing at this moment. And then once he does that, ask him for the truth, which would be the opposite of that thought, and then declare that over yourself. So take a few minutes. Does anybody care to share a testimony?
Should I use the mic?
I don't know. Can they hear you?
I think you should, yeah.
Yeah, should use the mic. I gotta use the mic.
I was like really struggling. I thought, oh, this is good. I can't come up with any bad thoughts. I must be doing all right.
You're practically perfect in every way.
Yes, exactly. So that's one thought that I submitted to Christ and rejected. But then I was really pressing in a little bit, and I got a picture of a sandbox. So it's like, oh, what in the world does that mean, Lord? And what came to mind was Matthew 7 about building your house on the sand. And that was like, so I'm starting to feel conviction and I'm not liking this too much.
Oh.
But it was good. And I think what the Lord was saying to me was, you know, for like over 20 years as a believer, I put a lot of importance on the scriptures and neglected the spirit. And the last 5 years or so especially, it's like, man, this is so exciting because I'm learning about the prophetic. And I've been neglecting, as far as in my heart, not putting enough importance, I think, on the written word of God. Because Jesus said that if you build your life on these words of mine, he was talking specifically, I believe, about Matthew 5, about the Sermon on the Mount, was it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what he was specifically talking about. But it's the teachings, the word of God. Mm. So it's, I need not to lose my value for the written word of God.
Okay.
Cool.
That's good.
Cool.
Anybody else any, might want to share a testimony or something?
When you were talking about taking the thought captives, what instantly came to me was how a day can just go so bad by one thought in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it could be about your wife, your child, you know, something coming up where you have some sort of negative expectation about, like, oh my God, now they're going to do it. I know he's going to do this way. And throughout the day, all you do is dwell on it. Mm-hmm. All you do is dwell on it, and you make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And by the time you go home, the minute that child opens their mouth up for anything, you're ready to jump all over.
That's true.
And they didn't do anything wrong that day. Yeah. It was this thought planted in you, and then us allowing that the soil that we have in there to grow it and to own it and to dwell upon it. And that's what I need to work on. The moment that those thoughts come into my mind now, to sit there and say, they're Lord, yours, Lord, and just nail them on the cross.
Yeah. That's good.
Good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else?
I feel like a fool taking the mic. This is not cute at all. But a thought that I have.
You're cute.
But this thought is like stupid. So, okay. I've allowed this thought in that I'm a pushover. And as a result, and Jayla, you can like say whether or not this is true, I feel like I have taken that thought in, and so I'm ready to jump on anybody. Kind of a passive aggressive thing, you know? I don't know. But they have full, like, they can tell me anything. They're quick to do it too. Mommy, I didn't like when you did, you know, and it's okay. But I just feel like that. I don't know if if my behavior has exuded that, but I have felt like that lately. Like I'm ready to jump on Well, okay, today my husband is home, and I told him, I said, if you want to take a nap, it was earlier, I said, if you want to take a nap, take one now, because I'm leaving the baby home. And he's like, no, 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 just take him. He needs to, you know, learn about God. And I was like, and I told him, our youngest daughter recently said, she said, Mommy, I'm nervous about him because he doesn't come to church with us. And, like, does he even believe? And I was like, oh. And I said, well, I can tell you that definitely he's been saved several times over, in fact, because he thought you had to keep doing it. But, and I said, so he is a believer. The whole church thing, I can't speak to that. That you got to go to him about the rest of that. But I basically, like, just told him, like, yeah, I don't have a baby, you can see. So yeah, that's something that I'm having to, like, this idea that I'm a pushover. Because I'm not, you know. But I don't want to become this, like, passive-aggressive little, like, Napoleon complex, you know, all that.
Remember, don't stop at the fort. Ask God, which, you know, I'm pretty sure you did, but ask God the opposite, the truth of the thought, and then allow that to permeate, and God work through that. All right, cool. So, what would lead us to actively submit our thoughts and actions into the obedience of Christ on a daily basis? I would hope, many things, I guess, it could be a number of many reasons, but for me, I would say it would have to be love. And that leads me to the next scripture, which is John 14:15. And this was another light bulb moment for me from the way I used to look at it years ago and kind of like, oh. So John 14:15 says, if you really love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you really love me, you will keep obeying my commands. Now, years ago, yeah, I remember going out and witnessing to people, and you start telling them about Jesus, and, you know, you would get the, well, I love Jesus. And I remember at times pulling this scripture out, well, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus says if you love him, you have to obey him, you know? Yeah. And it's like, and it kind of makes sense, right? Because, I mean, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. But as I was reading into this, I had that light bulb moment, and I was like, man, I had it backwards.
Yes.
Thank you. and, you know, I totally had it backwards. Mm. Because it's not like, well, I have to obey because I love God, but it's, I love God, so therefore I obey. Yeah. You know, the motivation for me to be in obedience is love. And it just flows out of that love relationship because he has loved me and I'm loving him back. So anyway, that to me was like, you know, that would have to me, you know, the motivation is love, out of love of God, out of love for everything he's done for us. We just allow him to work in us, allow him to work in our thought patterns, and which lead to our actions and things like that. But the foundation is, you know, again, it has to be love. And these other things flow out of love. These other things come together out of love. The steps we take, the decisions we make, you know, they have to be founded on that love from us to him, the love we have for him, and allow that love to work in us and through us and just cause us to be the motivation, the springboard where we launch out of and take a step out into the things, whether it's us individually becoming more like him or, you know, reaching out to others or whatever, is the love of God. So anyway, I had if love is not the motivation for our actions, then our actions are based on a religious work mentality. And we don't want that.
No, we don't.
So take a second or two, and this activation is declaring over each other the Father, the heart of the Father over each other. So take a minute and declare the heart of the Father over each other. After all, God is love.
Wow, that's
thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Anyway, good stuff. Thank you, Father. All right, so in closing, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind is our deepest calling, and it has to be our deepest burning. So just take a couple minutes, just declare over yourself. Yes, there you go. In your own words, however you feel the Holy Spirit leads you or whatever, but declare over yourself obedience through love. Declare that over yourself. That love is the foundation for your obedience and for your actions and for your morality.